Okay, good morning, morning people. Today's daf is daf Nun Hey in Bechoros. Let's go. Third daf of the ninth paragraph. Bechoros, I told you, was like, ninth paragraph was like the bonus round. After going through Masechta Bechoros, which is primarily, it is nine prakim, but eight of those prakim deal with the mitzvah of Bechor. Spoke mostly about Bechor Behema, and then we spent a couple of prakim talking about Bechor Adam. The eighth parak notably was Bechor Adam. So now we turned our attention to the ninth parak, which is bonus Meiser Behema. Not a lot of Mishnayos regarding Meiser Behema, one parak's worth of Mishnayos, so it's all put over here into the ninth parak. I explained already on Friday the reason why it's lumped over here is because Meiser Behema essentially is like Bechor in terms of Matnos Damim, had the application of blood on the Mizbeach. So Bechor, Meiser, and Pesach, all or three of them, all pretty much the same, the Mishnah Zvachim tells us. And so therefore they're lumped together. How come Pesach isn't here as well? So Tosfos says because Pesach really deserves its own Masechta. It's so large, it's so huge. So therefore it deserves and actually receives its own Masechta. Meanwhile, however, we are learning the ninth Perek and we're learning about the Mitzvah of Meiser Behema. So far to date, we basically have tackled now the first Mishnah and we're finishing up right now the first Mishnah, which began on Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, and we are now on Nudal Amud Bezen. We have just a little bit more to go before we finish up. The Mishnah told us that the mitzvah of Meiser Behema applies in Israel and outside of Israel, when there's a Beis HaMikdash and when there's no Beis HaMikdash, not by Kachim. We spent a little bit of time yesterday on Shabbos talking about that. And it applies to cattle and sheep and goat. The difference is that by cattle, cattle has to be counted separately. Sheep and goat can be counted together. So if I have a collection of sheep and goats, I can count them together. And yesterday's daf really dedicated itself to the comparison of this halacha of what can be counted together by Meiser Behema as opposed to what can be counted together by Meiser Dagon. You'll remember from yesterday's daf, Meiser Dagon, the Gemara says that everything has to be counted separately. Everything. Meaning grapes, olives, wheat, barley, and all the other different types of growth, produce from the ground that you're going to take off Trumas and Meisos. Everything has to be kept separate from one another, and therefore when you're mafresh, when you separate Trumas and Meisos, you need to separate not one from another, but everyone has to be kept separately. So now that we know that, so the Gemara basically asks the question, well, why don't we say the same thing by Meiser Behema? Meaning the two are connected. The Pasuk of Aser ta Aser tells us that whatever is true by Meiser Behema is going to be true by Meiser Dagon, right? Shtei Masor Sakasa Medabir, the Torah is talking about two Masor, so why don't we just simply connect the two? And if we know by Meiser Dagon everything has to be kept separate, why don't we say the same thing by Meiser Behema? That was really the question of the day yesterday, and to that the Gemara offered a number of suggestions. Maybe it's a limited Gzeira Shava or Hekish, whatever you want to call it, or maybe the word sown. Sown is like the key word. Sown tells us that sheep and goat categorically are together. They're the same basic thing. And so therefore they're counted together. That was yesterday's daf. Just a little bit more to go in terms of yesterday, but that basically is, I mean, in a summary statement, that's yesterday's daf. Maskifla Rav Huna Bre de Rav Nachman. Right? That's where we left off yesterday, I believe. Yeah. And the Gemara now is just going to have one last challenge. So the Gemara makes a suggestion. Why don't we combine together Bakar Bitzon? In other words, simple question, meaning as long as we're combining anyway, as long as by Meiser Behema we can put sheep and goat together, so then just put it all together. Put the Bakar together as well. So Amalei Marzucha Breder of Nachman Larava Isle Nami Ha'asiri. So he says, yeah, but you have the word Ha'asiri. When you go to the end of Bechukosai and you see the parsha over there detailing the mitzvah of Meiser Behema, it's all of two psukim in the Torah about Meiser Behema. But when you go over there, you take a look over there, it says Ha'asiri, the tenth, which is it minimizes. So that's one version of the give and take. Ikedarim, the Gemara brings another version of this give and take. Amarava below Isiri Nami Lo Matzis Amart. Even if I didn't have that drush of Ha'asiri, I still could have answered your question. Bakar Vitzom Mitzasrim Mizeh Alzeh De'itkish Meiser Nami Lo Matzis Amart. Bakar Vitzom Mitzasrim Mizeh Alzeh. Thank you. De'itkish Meiser Behema La Meiser Dagon. Because of our Hekesh. Again, we're bouncing back and forth between the two approaches. The Hekesh Dagon Ma Meiser Dagon Mimin Al Shein Amin Alo. Av Meiser Behema Mimin Al Shein Amin Alo. So just like when it comes to grains, you can't do one onto another. Everything has to be kept separate. So therefore, the same thing true as Meiser Behema. Yeah, but then what? Right. Then you see what's going to happen now. Now we back ourselves into a corner. So then sheep and goat should be kept separate. Vaha Rava Huda Amar Shana L'Shana Hikshitiv V'lo L'Davar Acher. So the first of all, the Rava said on the previous page, even the hekesh was a limited hekesh. It's only a hekesh vis-a-vis Shana V'Shana. Years have to be kept separate, meaning animals that are born this year versus animals that are born next year. Just like by grain, same story. Grain that's grown this year as opposed to grain that's grown next year. So, hadabei Rava me'ahi. So, Gemara's answer, number one, is Rava retracted. Rava said no. Rava said it, but then took it back, meaning he's of the opinion that it's a full-blown hekesh. Now, if it's a full-blown hekesh, what do we do about our sheep and goat? We'll go to Tzon. Tzon will combine the sheep and goat. Ibai Sema, the Gemara gives another explanation, Chadaminevra, Papa Amrei. Another answer of the Gemara is that it's Rav Papa who said one of the statements, either the limited hekesh approach or what we're saying right now, not a limited hekesh, but full-blown hekesh. It could be that one of the statements is attributed to Rav Papa, and by mistake it was, instead of Rav Papa, it was said Rava. I read on the notes that Rav Papa becomes the Rosh Hashiva after Rava. So very often what's going to happen is that Rav Papa will say something and people, because of the previous Rosh Hashiva, people will attribute it mistakenly to Rava.
Wait, what
Yeshiva is the last? This is the Yeshiva Pampadisa. Right? That's the big one. Meaning Nahardah, remember, Nahardah closed. After Shmuel died, Nahardah closed. So after the first generation of Amoraim, you're basically down to two Yeshivas. Sura and Pampadisa. And the main one was Pampadisa. Sura, that was Rav's yeshiva. But really, after the death of Rav and Shmuel, Sura still existed, Nahardah did not.
So really early
and then Pampadisa becomes like, Rav is right in the middle of the pack. Meaning in terms of generations, however you want to count the generations. Five generations, six generations, however you want to count it. But Rav is like right in the middle, smack in the middle. Rav and Shmuel are the first generation, Ravina, Ravashi the last generation. And Rav is like right in the middle. Rava. We normally attribute Rava to be the head of Pampadisa. I don't know. I gave you all the information I know. You've exhausted.
I think Rava is sort of the last hostess on the.
The Rosh Hashiva. Yeah. Good. Very good. V'yeshivarim kishayamad. It's from Shem Kishem. Rava. Very good. Excellent. Okay. Good. Next topic. We're starting out the new Mishnah. We're on Nundala Medvez, and we're starting out the new Mishnah. And now this new Mishnah deals with proximity. Issues of proximity. Okay, now in terms of Meiser Behema, so basically your animals have to be together. Okay? Geographically. If they're not together, so they're not counted together. Now that reflects a kula, it reflects a leniency. Let me try to explain. It's pretty straightforward. Meaning you only have a mitzvah of Meiser Behema if you have 10 animals in one location. If you happen to have animals spread out all over the country, animals up in Tveria, some animals down in Hebron, right? Maybe some in Yerushalayim. I know no one's grazing in Yerushalayim, but I'm saying if you have animals all over the place, so you don't have an obligation. You don't have to now take all those animals and put them together in the same location. Additionally, what you also don't do is you don't simply say, well, I got 9 up in Tveria, I got 9 down in Hebron, that's 18 altogether, so let's count it up. Nope. In other words, the fact that they're so geographically far apart means that I don't have to look at them as two, even though it's owned by one individual, it's owned by one owner, but I don't have to look at the two of them as together. And so therefore, if I have 9 up in the north and 9 down in the south, I'm simply exempt, I'm putter from the mitzvah of Meiser Behema. Meiser Behema is only when you have a starting point of 10 animals. Good. So now, perfect. So now, how far apart do they have to be? So now that we know that, so where do we say that they are too far apart? So that's our Mishnah, and that's going to be our discussion for a good part of today. Interesting, it's basically the entire daf today, it's the entire sugya today. Hopefully we'll get to the end of the sugya, which will be really the end point of today's daf. And it's going to really take us into interesting discussions about the Jordan River and whether it is the geographic boundary of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, it's a tangent, but you'll see how we get to that tangent. We start with the Mishnah.
This leniency that they have to be together and not apart comes from either Raita
Yeah, no. It's assumed to be midaraisa, because the Torah says that anything that's collected in the pen and anything that goes under the shevet, it has to be all of them together. Okay, watch. Ma'isa behema mitzarif kamlo ragol behema ro'eh. So the Mishnah gives us a distance, a shear, but not. It doesn't put it in linear terminology. The Mishnah first puts it in terms of some sort of halachic definition. Ma'isa behema combines when it is kamlo regol behema ro'eh. The normal distance of the shepherd. The traveling of the animal with the shepherd. Right? Hard to put into an English sentence, meaning it's like, even as a halachic definition. So the Mishnah realizes, v'kama, so now the Mishnah says, okay, now that I gave you the basic idea, but before we go further in the Mishnah, the basic idea is, in other words, as one shepherd can view the animals together. Now, as you know, I'm not in the job of shepherding. The Mishnah and Sanhedrin does not look favorably upon the shepherd, right? The shepherd is, generally speaking, somebody who cannot testify or be a part of a court system. And I am always curious by that, even though our greats were all shepherds. David, Moshe, right? Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Okay. So, anyway. But
even though they were shepherds,
All of them. So the shepherd basically tended to his flock. Okay, and I don't mean it allegorically. I don't mean this by way of analogy. Meaning we're talking about literally the shepherd, and his flock now could be all over the place. What is considered? You have to be a shepherd to really understand and appreciate this. What is considered the normal distance of animals being far apart and still be counted to that one shepherd? So that's really what the Mishnah is trying to describe. In this shear of Kamalo Raga Behema Roa. So, okay, the Kama, for the rest of us who don't really understand this. How much is that? Kamahi Rego Behema Roa. What is this distance? Tedzain mil. So the Mishnah gives a very, very concrete linear measurement of 16 mil. A mil is approximately a kilometer, right? A mil is 2,000 amas. 2,000 amas you want to put somewhere in the range of 3,000 to 4,000. 2,000, a mil is 2,000 amma, an amma is 2 feet approximately, so it's about 4,000 feet, maybe less, maybe 3,000 feet. Okay, it's about a kilometer, approximately. Okay, a little bit over. Okay. Anyway, just, so you want to, right, 16 kilometers. That's pretty far, right? On a clear day, how far can you see? I know it depends on the haze. How far can you see on a clear day? Altitude will help you, right?
Yeah. But depends how much you want to see.
The assumption is, I'll tell you like this. The reason why I ask, because the assumption is that if a shepherd could see his animals from the distance of 16 mil. Now, if I'm right, 60 mil is approximately 16 kilometers. That's far.
That's 10 miles.
Yeah. Right. That's right. Okay,
now
we have a lot of haze over here, but I mean, it's not California, but we have a lot of haze over here. I don't think we could see that far. But anyway, that's the assumption the Mishnah is making. This is basically the distance where your shepherd is in one spot, and he could still see his animal 16 mil away. Okay, good. They're my animals. Now, the Mishnah says something which is confounding. The Mishnah then says, if they're 32 mil apart, so then that's not going to be mitzarif, that won't combine. Now, there's a big gap between 16 mil and 32 mil. If I'm not mistaken, I think that gap is 16 mil.
You're talking radius diameter.
Okay, you already have answers. Why don't we just... Let me just present the Mishnah as it presents itself, which is confounding, which is first the Mishnah gives a distance of 16, and then the Mishnah says, oh, but 32 is too much. What about anything between? You know, there's a lot of exits between 16 and 32, unless you're going on the turnpike. There are a lot of exits between those two. So the Mishnah sounds confounding. Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to obviously deal with that. Hayulo be'emtsa mevi u'ma'asran be'emtsa. What if you have 2 points of 32 away from one another, but you have something in the middle which bisects? So now, right, you remember your good old geometry days? So it bisects. So now you have 16 to one side, 16 to the other side. So that's fine. The Mishnah says that's fine. That would be mitzarif, that would combine the two ends. Again, stay tuned. We're going to do this much better as we go through the Gemara. And Rabbi Meir Omer, Hayar de Mafsik Lamaisa Behema. And then the Mishnah makes one final point on this issue, which is the Jordan River. Jordan River divides and separates. Meaning, if I got animals on one side of the Jordan, and I got animals on the other side of Jordan, and Rashi says, and let's say they're not 16 mil apart, let's say they're 5 mil apart, let's say it's 1 kilometer apart, or let's say the animals are mamish on the edge of each side of the Jordan River, they don't combine. Now, why should that be? Stay tuned, because that will be a big part of today's daf, and that will be a big part of today's discussion. Good. Stay tuned. No longer is this a discussion of different animals. It's now just simply a discussion of proximity of the animals that need to be one to another. Okay. We'll see. Menani mili amar Rav Barshila makra ota avorna hatzona yidei moneh. Okay. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu says that the sheep go under the moneh, the counter, meaning that there's a moneh, there's a counter, and he unifies. He basically takes everything and he puts them all together. So the animals don't have to be near one another per se. They have to be. It's like almost like a centripetal force, which is established by the moneh, by the counter. So the shepherd combines everybody. And now here the chachamim, meaning good. That explains the principle. The principle is, as long as the shepherd can see the sheep or cattle or whatever he's tending to, so he now will unify those animals to be counted as part of the collective group. How much is that? So that's where the chachamim come in with interpretation. The chachamim say that they did a little bit of research, and they did a little bit of checking, and they come up with 16 mil. Hayu ben elo leilu shoshim v'shnayim mil ein mitzdarfin. Shoshim v'shnayim hu dein mitzdarfin. Ha batzer mehachim mitzdarfin. So here now the Gemara presents what is the obvious problem of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says 16 mil. And then the Mishnah says, but 32 is too much. And the Gemara says, what just happened over there? We jumped from 16 to 32. V'haktani tetzayin mil tfei lo. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. You already told me 16 is too much. Anything greater than 16 is too much. And now you're jumping to the number 32. That doesn't make any sense. Mishim dekabai lemisnei seifa. So the Gemara says, look, that line of 32 was just a setup for the next point of the Mishnah. Meaning anything greater than 16 is no good. Does not combine. So in other words, you're at 16 and a half mil. No good. You're at 17 mil. That's no good. Of course, when you get to 32 mil, it's no good. It's obvious. The only reason why the Mishnah said it is just now that we're 32 mil apart, but now we're ready for hear the next words of the Mishnah, which are, but what do you have something in the middle? Meaning I have an animal, that animals are 32 mil apart, but then I have something in the middle. Hayilo be'emsa, mevi umasran be'emsa. So if I have something in the middle, so then the middle can combine the two exteriors, the two 16 mil positions that are obviously in opposite directions of what's in the middle. Now, what's in the middle? Right? The shepherd's in the middle? Animals are in the middle? Okay, I'll let you fight it out. The Gemara's going to have a fight about it. So the Mevi Umasar Memsa Vekama. So Amarav Chamesh Mikan Vechamesh Mikan. V'chamesh me'emsa. Dahani chamesh chazya lahacha, v'chazya lahacha. So Rav says, you know what's got to be in the middle? You got to have 5 sheep. Now, the number doesn't have to be 5. I'm just going to use the numbers that he uses, but understand more the idea than the number. 5 sheep have to be in the middle. Now, there's nothing sacred about the number 5. In other words, if you have, let's say, my desk, 30 from here to here is 32 mil, and right here in the middle of the desk now is 16 mil. Okay, obviously not drawn to scale, but that's fine. So Rav says, if there are 5 sheep over here, and there are 5 in the middle, and there are 5 over here, that's good. That'll combine. Because Rav essentially says that the only way that this can combine with this, which can combine with this, is only if these 2 points over here, I know you can't see this at home, but if only the end and the middle both have enough animals to establish Maaseh Behemah, then I can look at this as one entity. And if these 2 have enough, meaning the other end in the middle, have enough to create 10, i.e. Maaseh Behemah, then this can be viewed as one entity. But according to Rav, if let's say I have 5 over here, and I have five at the other end. And I only have one in the middle that doesn't combine. Okay? I'll put it in other terms. Maybe you'll enjoy this, maybe not. I'll put it in other terms. According to Rav, you know what's significant? The animals. Meaning this idea that the animals combine is really a din in the animals. It's all about the animals. The animals are what is creating that combination. Now listen to Shmuel. Shmuel's going to disagree. Right, so correct. In other words, correct. So now you have now you could say I have 15 animals. I have 15 animals unified, and now they're all going to go into one pen, and they're all going to be counted together. Rather, there's a Rashi somewhere here, where Rashi says you don't actually have to bring them all together. In other words, but halachically we could view them as together. Okay, that is the position of Rav. Shmuel Amar, three lines from the bottom of the Amud, Afilu Chamesh Mekan Vehe Mekan Ve'echad Be'emtza. Chazin Al-Roa Kaman Dekai Hacha Ve'karinan Be'i Mona. Shmuel says, that's not really necessary. Meaning, I have five over here, I have five over here, I only have one in the middle. Or as we'll see in just a moment, I have the shepherd in the middle. And that's it. Meaning, Shmuel says, what's combining everything? Not the animals, the shepherd. You go back to the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, and the Gemara says it pretty much straight out. I'm not adding really anything intelligent to the Gemara. I'm just, I think more than anything else, just simply explaining. You go back to that Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. O ta'avorna hatzon al yedei moneh. In other words, it's all through the counter, through this moneh. So in other words, the shepherd's in the middle. He could see the sheep over here. He could see the sheep over here. It's the shepherd that's being mitzarif. He's combining all the animals together. So I don't need to have now five animals in the middle. I only need to have one animal in the middle. Or as we'll see in just a moment, not even an animal. Just the shepherd by himself. That would be enough. Okay. Meisvei. We continue now. We're on the top of Nun Hei Amud Aleph. Hayelo chamesh bekfar chananya v'chamesh bekfar usnei. Eim etzdarf and ashilo achas betzipori. The Braisa says, I have five animals in Kfar Chananya. Now, we're somewhere in the north in Israel. Now, I only know that because of Tzipori, right? Tzipori is, of these places that the Gemara, the Braisa just listed, Chananya, Kfar Osne, I don't know, I've never heard of those places, okay? But Tzipori I heard of. Tzipori is right next to Tveria, right? Modern day Hoshaya, for those of you who visit up north. So, huh? It's right. It's even a little bit north of Beit Sha'an, right? It's
Kfar Kedem.
Next time you visit Israel, I'll give Beit Sha'an. Beit Sha'an is on the bottom of the river, right? You got to go.
But 20 minutes east west of Tveria.
Right. It's due west of Tveria.
20 minutes west of Tveria, quite dry.
Next time you're in Hoshaya, speak to me. I'll give you a good person to speak to over there.
Right. 20 minutes west of. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
right. So the so Tzipori, we're in the north, and let's do the driving directions later. We'll table the driving directions. Okay. Now, yeah, Google. So you have the Braisa says I have animals in Chananya and I have animals in Kfar Osne. So they're too far away from one another. They're more than 60 mil than one another. I say that with confidence only because I'm just looking at the context of the Braisa. And now they no good, meaning they don't combine unless you have. Listen to the Braisa. Unless you have one in Tzipori, okay, and that's all you need. Meaning all you need is one in Tzipori, and that will combine. This Braisa is fantastic for Shmuel, and it's difficult for Rav. Tiyufta de Rav. Tirgama Shmuel, Liba de Rav. Now, I love when the Gemara does this, meaning we're going to defend Rav, and not we're going to defend Rav, but Shmuel's going to defend Rav. Because Shmuel is not interested in winning a debate. Shmuel's interested in ascertaining the truth. So Shmuel's going to defend Rav, and Shmuel's going to say, Kigon shayu teisha mikan, v'teisha mikan, v'achas be'emtza. So the Gemara says, because look, I got... maybe the Bryce is talking about where I got nine over here in Chananya, I got nine over here in Kfar Osne, and I got one in the middle, and according to Rav, that's what you need. Meaning, so now I could view 10 over here as one unit, I could view the 10 over here as one unit, and that's why they could all combine. Look, the Bryce doesn't qualify, we can give such an interpretation of the Braisa, and that would defend Rav's position. So the Gemara says it's not Mukhrach.
How can you count the middle and the animal twice?
Even when Rav was doing his numbers earlier, he was counting the middle animals twice. It's not a question of counting the middle animals twice. It's a question of just simply combining them. Meaning, how can we look at all those animals as a unified entity? So what Rav is telling you is, the middle and the extreme have to be able to count to 10. Then I can view this as one entity. The middle and this extreme have to be counted to 10, and now I can view this as one entity. Otherwise, I can't. Because for Rav, it's all about the animals. The animals is what unifying. According to Shmuel, no, the shepherd's unifying. So Shmuel says, I don't need the extreme in the middle to be able to count to 10. Even the two extremes can count to 10, and that would be enough as well. Okay. Let's just finish this sugya quickly. So Chazal Hacher Amar Rav Papa Ushmul Afilu Roa. Did I skip a little bit? Okay, fine. But also Beemsa Dai Chazal Hacher VeChazal Hacher Amar Rav Papa. So now the Gemara continues on this discussion. Ulushmul Afilu Roa Mitzarfan. Right, I said this before, but now the Gemara is going to say it straight out. Even according to Shmuel, you don't even need an animal in the middle. All you need is a shepherd, because as I explained back then, and the Gemara here is Beferish. For Shmuel, it's not the animals that are combining, it's the shepherd that's combining. As long as the shepherd has the bird's eye view and able to see 16 mil, and so 16 mil in this direction, 60 mil in that direction, as long as the shepherd's in the middle, so he's combining. V'afilu kelev shoroa mitzarfen. We'll take it even one step further. You don't even need the shepherd to be actually in that central point. You can have the shepherd's clothing, his staff, his kelim, his tools of the trade, his tent, whatever the case is, they could be in the middle, and that'll combine as well. Why? So Rashi writes, because the shepherd's going to have to come there. Right? Rashi says, V'sofo deroa lemezol hasam umishakle v'karinam bay moneh. So Rashi says, because the shepherd eventually is going to have to go there, his kelim are over there, and so therefore that's considered like the shepherd's actually there as well. By Rav Ashi, the Gemara is going to take this just one step further, or try to take it one step further. Kalba deroa mai. What if you have the sheep dog, shepherd's dog? Okay, I'm looking for a fancy name. What if you have the shepherd's dog right in the middle? Okay, so it's not his kelim, it's not the shepherd, it's the shepherd's dog. Can the shepherd's dog combine? Now, essentially, what's the Gemara's question over here is as follows. If the shepherd's dog is in that center point, does that mean the shepherd's going to be there as well? So the Gemara says, Kevin Dekari Leva Asi, Lamit Starfi, not necessarily, because on one hand, you know, if you got a real good dog, so you call to the dog and the dog comes when you call it. Oh, Dilma Zimun Delo Asi, Umitzrechi Lameza Vasi. Sometimes you call to the dog doesn't respond. You call even louder, thinking that that'll help. The dog doesn't respond. And so you're going to have to now go over there and you're going to have to get your dog. And so maybe the dog being there won't guarantee, but it's enough of a possibility that you're now going to be considered there, so therefore you can now be considered as you're unifying the two ends. Tegu the Gemara leaves this last question unresolved. This is all within Shita Shmuel, meaning for Rav, none of this is going to help. You need actual animals and enough animals in the middle where it can combine with either extreme to make 10.
Right, so if we pass in that problem.
Yeah, so that was going to be my next... Very good. So that was going to be my next point. So who do we follow like, right? This is an interesting question. And then we have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. So now this is interesting because here's our basic guidelines in terms of who we follow, in terms of Rav and Shmuel. When it comes to Isurim, the halacha falls like Rav. When it comes to Mammon, the halacha falls like Shmuel. So here's the question. This discussion that we're having right now, are they mitzarev, do they combine to 10? Is this a Mammonos issue or is this an issue of Isur? Okay, good. Good, but... Right,
but
so...
Okay. With regards to Rav, if you got like 9 on one side, 1 in the middle and 9 on another, not... Did 1 and the 9 on one side combine to get 10? Do you have to add the other 9 on the other side to make one collection, or is it just one pot
no,
of 10?
According to Rav, once you have enough animals in the middle that can combine to either side, now we view the whole thing as one unified entity.
But you're still only going to get one.
In the case of 9, 1, and 9, it's not going to help you, because now you have a total of 19. Okay, and you're only going to have one Meister Behemah animal, But still, the point is that they're all combined, and now they all become unified.
Yeah, but if you have 19, does that mean that you bring all 19 and you do one of that, or you just keep the 10 that you have and you do one of that?
I would suggest that seems to be the simple shot is they're all combined. They're all combined now for one entity. Okay, the Rambam rules like Rav. Okay? In other words, it seems from the Rambam basically looks at this more of an issue of Issa Veheter as he views this as an issue of Mamonos. Obviously, it's going to affect your sheep. But still, in other words, this is more about Karban becoming a Karban. It's more Issa Veheter than it is Mamonos. So it's interesting. In other words, you have to see whether or not there's a consistency and whether we always view Maisa Behema as an issue of Isser as opposed to Mamonos. Correct, and right, in most issues it's, correct. But it's not, in other words, it's not a choshe mishpat halacha. It's a, we would call this a yoridei halacha. Okay. The Reb Meir Omer Hayarda Mastik L'Maisa Behema. Okay, everyone ready for some good Jordan talk? Now, truth be told is that, I know Israel a little bit, but really though, and I'm not saying this out of humility, I know just a little. I mean, in other words, I don't know it well. And I feel like for the upcoming Gemara, like you got to know Israel geographically really well to appreciate and enjoy the Gemara's next discussion. And so I don't feel super qualified. So, but we'll try anyway. Okay. So Rameir Omer, Ayarim Afsik L'maisa Behem, Amar Rabbi Amar L'shanu Ola Shein Sham Gesha, Val Yesham Gesha or Gesha Mitzarfan. So we start with the first of the position of Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami says, you know what the issue is? It has nothing to do with territory, and it has nothing to do with boundary. No, it's just a pragmatic issue. Meaning, animals are on one side of the Jordan, animals on the other side of the Jordan. You can't combine. Okay? Simply because, what are we going to do? We're going to walk through the Jordan? I mean, one time historically, the Jordan split for the Jewish people. Right? You remember?
Yeah, and the Jordan had
Okay, I've heard such things again. You know, I took my family down the Jordan River once. I mean, it was enough to paddle, but that was up north though. That's not down in the south area. Anyway, but Rabbi Ami says that has nothing to do with territory, geography, boundary, nothing to do with that. It's a simple pragmatic issue that I have two animals on two sides of the Jordan. That's why they don't combine. Lo shano lo shein sham gesher. And according to Rabbi Ami, let's say I had a bridge that connected the two sides of the Jordan. And I had animals on one side, animals on the other side. Lo and behold, they now combine, assuming they're within 16 mil of one another. Avo yesham gesher, gesher mitzarfan. Amishum ishum delomi karvan hu. So Rabbi Ami, the whole idea behind the Jordan River is that they're just simply not within proximity of one another. That's all. It's really that simple. Access is the issue. Okay, you can already figure out what's the question we can ask against Rabbi Ami.
How about a ferry?
Something even more basic than that. Yeah, right. Why is the Mishnah pointing to the Jordan River? There are other rivers. Even in Israel, there are other rivers. So it is interesting that, you know, the Rabbi Ami is giving an explanation of the Mishnah, but the Mishnah is not saying that this is true regarding all rivers. It's only true regarding the Jordan River. At least that's the simple reading of the Mishnah. Okay, stay tuned. The Gemara is going to ask that question with really not a satisfactory answer. But I'm saying the Gemara won't even have an answer. But that is the question to ask. Meizve hayulo b'shnei evre yardein elech ve'elech o b'shnei avtila os. Let's say you have your animals on two sides of the Jordan. But then the Braisa continues, and the Braisa says, or you have them on two sides of Avtila Os. Right? You don't want to know what that is? Phil, how's your French today? Kuntar Das? You see the Rashi? It's a little bit above where we are in the Gemara.
That looks like countries.
Right, countries, yeah. How do you say country? Up. No, Avtila of the Rashi of Avtila Ot. No. Shnei Afarchiot uvamalchus achas. Two provinces in within one country. In other words, basically, it's right. I'd say like in America, two different states. It's not such a great example. There's no real borders between states.
Counties.
Right? Counties maybe. Okay. Anyway, two provinces. Let's just keep it simple. Obishnei avtios kagon shel gamar v'gamuri. Gemara gives examples, which if we live back in the time of the Gemara, would be like we'd totally understand it. Aim at starfin, they don't combine. Ve'ein tzarich lamer chutz la'aretz va'aretz. And certainly outside of Israel and in Israel, meaning I got animals inside of Israel, I got animals outside of Israel, they certainly do not combine. Okay, that's the end of the Braisa. It's clear from the Braisa that this is all about territories. This is all about being on one side of the border and the other side of the border. And this has nothing to do with access. Because look, one of the examples is right on one side of Israel and the other side of Israel. Now there's the access. You know, all you need to do is just show your passport and, you know, you can gain access. So obviously it's not an issue of access. It's an issue of they are simply on two sides of two borders. That the Jordan is a boundary marker. In other words, if you want to know what the eastern boundary of Israel is, it's the Jordan River. Now, we all know, of course, that... not the Euphrates, Jordan. Yeah, now we all know that there is, right, two and a half Shvatim did occupy some of the areas on the other side of the Jordan, but first of all, that's not the entire Jordan River, that's only part of the Jordan River, and as we're going to learn in just a moment, this halacha really is primarily dedicated to the entire Jordan River, although we'll see a bit more about that in just a moment. Good. So we have now an eastern border of Israel, the Jordan River. It's a border. So this is now our second explanation of the Mishnah. Nothing to do with access. It has to do with simply the fact that the two animals or the two groups of animals are on two sides of the border, therefore they don't combine. Ela me'ata v'torah ha'gvul v'alah ha'gvul ha'chinami ha'kasav asa gvul b'ifnei atzmo. So the Gemara says, okay, but if it's all about borders, what about borders between Shvatim? What about tribal borders? I got one group of animals on one side of the tribal border and another group on another side of the tribal border. So shouldn't that be enough now to segregate the animals and say they don't combine? Shani Hasam Damakra Zosti Alachem Haaretz Ligvulosel Saviv Kula Eretz Yisrael Gvul Echadhi. Look, tribal borders do not really segregate. Meaning, yes, they separate the different Shvatim, but Eretz Yisrael is viewed as one whole. It is really viewed as one entity, and so therefore, vis-a-vis, tribal borders are not going to separate. It has to be the borders that separate Eretz and Chutz Aretz. Iharchi Yardinami, Eretz, velo Yardin. Iharchi Yardinami. So the Gemara says, if that's true, so I understand, isn't the Jordan itself part of Eretz Yisrael? Eretz velo Yardin. The Gemara says, no, because it has to be land. Land mass unifies, but the Jordan does not unify. Okay. We'll understand that hopefully a little bit better in just a moment. Now, Bishlam l'Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. So basically now, we have two explanations of our Mishnah, right? Our Mishnah says at the very end, according to Rav Meir, the Yarden is mafsik. The Yarden separates. I have animals on one side of the Yarden. I have animals on the other side of the Yarden. It's mafsik. Our two explanations of the Mishnah, one belongs to Rabbi Ami, who says it's an issue of access, and if you have a bridge connecting the two, therefore the animals are viewed together. And the other pshat was given by Rabbi Chiya, and Rabbi Chiya says that it is an issue of borders. Yarden separates Israel and Chutz La'aretz, and therefore the animals are separated simply because they're on two sides of the border. Okay. Bishlam l'Rabbi Chiya bar Abba hani d'ktani Yarden. So now the Gemara goes to the point which we raised earlier, but here the Gemara now says it straight out. So I understand, according to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, why did the Mishnah only choose the Yarden? Oh, I know why. Because that's a border. But El Rabbi Ami listenu lekulo naharos. But according to Rabbi Ami, why not mention all rivers? Why did the Mishnah only point to the Yarden? Kasha. So the Gemara says that's difficult. Yeah, that's difficult. I don't know why, according to Rabbi Ami, if it's all an issue about access, so why point only to the Yarden River? You know how the Gemara works. When the Gemara says the word Kashya, it means it's difficult, but we can get over it. Meaning, we can get by it. It's the Gemara never, I don't want to say never. Gemara always never, almost never gives an explanation, meaning Kashya means it's difficult, but in other words, we're not going to reject Rabbi Ami. But you see something like Tiyufta in the Gemara, that means it's like a total rejection. Rabbi Ami, Kasha means, all right, it's a question.
Kasha, does it mean that we don't understand what he was saying?
No, we understand what he's saying, but we don't know how to respond to the question.
Right.
I mean, the Gemara says it's a problem with Rabbi Ami's position. Gemara says, okay, small problem.
So it's a problem with him, not a problem with us.
Well, it's a problem with us, meaning...
There is
an answer. There's an explanation we may not be familiar.
Not like
and even the Gemara says, look, the Gemara says, you know, I'm telling you, it's difficult, but
right.
we're not. He's not to be rejected. Kitanai. Now you'll notice that basically, the Gemara called the Jordan River a boundary of Israel, and on top of that, the Gemara says the Jordan is not really part of Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, what's part of Eretz Yisrael? The landmass. So in other words, once you get to the Jordan River is now considered not Eretz Yisrael. Right? If I have animals on one side and animals on the other side, they're not to be unified. The Gemara is now going to point out, this is a machlokas tanayim. Right? It's, you know, the age-old question comes up again and again throughout the Gemara. Ad v'ad bechlal or ad v'lo ad bechlal. Meaning, we know the Jordan River is a boundary. But when we say it's a boundary, are we saying that up to the Jordan River or up to and including the Jordan River? Meaning, not all of it, though. In other words, only a part of it. Okay, today's the day I should have brought a map, but only part of it, not all of it.
I
mean,
I thought
it said it is a map, but it's
right. I thought we said no. The Jordan is part of it. So we're only counting land.
Right.
Part of it.
Right. Okay. Okay. I hear you. Kitanai. This. Kitanai. The Gemara now is going to point out this is a machlokas tanaim. Ki atam over mitzvah yardei naretz kanan. So the pasuk says when you go over the Jordan to the land of Canaan. Arza Eretz Canaan, Veloha Yarden Eretz Canaan, Div Rav Yehuda ben Beseira. So first we start off with the position of Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, which is the land, meaning you cross the Jordan and then you get into Eretz Canaan. So, which means, according to Rav Yehuda ben Beseira, the Jordan is not Eretz Canaan. Okay? Once you're in the river, you're outside of Israel. Rav Shimon ben Yochai Omer Hari Omer, Ma'avar Li Yarden Yericho Kedma, Mizracha. On the other hand, the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai Rashbi says, no. Ma'avar liyarden yericho kedma mizracha. When the Torah outlines what's the border of Eretz Yisrael, the eastern border, it says, over the Jordan River, right? The crossing of the Jordan River is the eastern border of Eretz Yisrael. Ma yericho Eretz Canaan, af yarden Eretz Canaan. Just like Yericho for sure is part of Eretz Canaan, that's not up for discussion or debate. So too is over the border, meaning over the Yarden, also considered Eretz Canaan as well. Good. Machlokas, meaning it's a debate amongst the Tanayim whether the Jordan River is considered part of Eretz Yisrael or not part of Eretz Yisrael. Next part of the discussion. What is considered the Jordan River? Now, Jordan River starts all the way up north, right, through a series of small little springs. Filtering into the Kinneret, right? What's it called? The Chulda's above it, right? Is that the name of that little body of river?
Actually,
it's the Chula, right? It used to be the Chula. It doesn't exist anymore, right? No, it does not exist. Goes down into the Kinneret, and then from the Kinneret now starts the Jordan River and goes all the way down to the Yam HaMelech. Right? The Chula Lake, right? Oh, you have a map. Can I see it? Okay, good. I got it.
And it's not there anymore that way?
Oh, we know that it dries it out.
When did they do that?
Oh, are we now?
40 years ago?
Yes, sir.
Are we now in discussion of geography? Of boundaries? Or, in other words, would we still have Rav Avi's problem with access? In other words, Is it specifically Yarden that would make it?
Well, that's basically where the Gemara left us off with Rabbi Ami. I mean, for Rabbi Ami, it should apply to any river. Yeah.
No, I understand that.
You're right.
But in Rafia, Does he consider access at all? He's only boundaries.
Doesn't seem like he doesn't consider like access as much of an issue.
Okay.
Which is interesting. I mean, it's a fair question. Why wouldn't Why wouldn't access be an issue? It's a fair point.
Okay.
Okay. So there was Lake Hula, down to Zveria, down to the Yamamelach. Okay, good. There's the Jordan River. And notice right before the Yamamelach, thank you. And right before the Yamamelach, you have Yericho, the city of Jericho. Okay. And so listen to this. Amar Rabba Barachan, we're not going to get much further today, but let's just start this discussion. Amar Rabba Barachan, Amar Rav Yochanan, Ein Yarden Ela Mi Beis Yericho Ulamata. You know what is Yarden? Now, he's not telling us, this is not a geography lesson. This is a halachic discussion. So from the Yarden and below is considered Yarden. Sorry, thank you. From Yericho and below is considered Yarden. From Yericho above is considered not the Yarden. Now there is a discussion amongst the Rishonim, and this is where it can get a little bit complicated. When we say below, we're going which direction? Now, you and I always are presented with a map where north is going up and south is going down. So I say down, so we normally, all of our compasses, our internal compasses, are now obviously going
to
go south. Okay.
It
also makes more sense to suggest south because you look at the flow, meaning the flow of the river goes from north down south. In other words, it's a southbound flow. So I say Lamata, it makes most sense to suggest that what the Gemara over here is doing is going south. Okay? You go through Tosos. We're not going to go through it now. Tosos disagrees. Tosos suggests that the direction that the Gemara is now pointing is north. Okay? Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm not here to resolve that issue. I'm just telling you, this is an advance notice of, we're not even sure, we're not even 100% sure which direction we're going in right now. But let's assume we're going south, though. Okay, that would seem to be the easier shot. So, Ein Yarden El Beis Yericho Lamata. So, that small section of the Yarden, from Yericho down to the Dead Sea, that's Yarden. Lamai Hilchasa. Now, the Gemara says now, this is a halachic discussion. This is not a geographical discussion. So what halach are we talking about? Are we talking about nedarim, ilam l'noder, meaning let's say a person makes a neder. I'm not bathing in the Jordan River ever again. I had a bad experience. I'm making a neder, never again, not the Jordan River. So the Gemara says, no, it's not going to apply to nedarim because you know the rule. Halach achaloshem b'nei adam v'chol hechad dekar le'yardein, it's or lay. Because whenever a person makes a neder, it follows lingua franca, it follows what is considered the normal understanding of the Jordan River. So I'm in Beit Sha'an, we call that the Jordan River, right? So this can't impact the halacha of nedarim. So El Lamaisa Behema, so the Gemara says it must be vis-a-vis the halacha of Maisa Behema. Tanya Namihachi, the Gemara says exactly. In fact, I'll show you a braisa. Yardin Yosei Mimaris Pam Yasma Halach Miyamashel Sivchi. So the Jordan starts with caves of Pamyas, goes down now to the lake of Sivchi, over Yamashel Tveria, then goes down to the lake of Tveria. Obviously, we're going here from a north to south direction, over Yamashel's dome, and then it goes all the way and deposits into the Dome River, lake, otherwise known to us as the Dead Sea. V'holech v'nofel Yam HaGadol. And then, and this is going to be hard to explain, and then it goes to the Yam HaGadol. I understand, but usually Yam HaGadol translates as a Mediterranean. Okay, so geographically challenging. Okay, that's not why I'm here. I'm not here to help with the geographic challenges. And the Yarden is only from Beis Yericho and below. So in other words, the Bryce over here says that, look, the Jordan has a long track. Halachically speaking, what's the Yarden that separates? Only from Beis Yericho Ulamata. Let's do a little bit more. Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lama Nikras Shmo Yarden Sheyored Midan. Where does it start? It starts from a place called from Dan, hence Yored Dan, right? Yarden. Amalei Rabbi Abba Le Ravashi Asan Mehasa Masnitzala Anu Mehacha Masnitzala. We arrive at the same conclusion, but from a different place. Vayikru Lo Leshem Dam, B'Shem Dan Avihem. V'Amar Rav Yitzchak, Leshem zu pamyas. The Leshem in reference to this pasuk from Yoshua is a reference to the pamyas. Again, the source of water for the Jordan River. V'tanya yosi yardei mimaras pamyas, amrav kahanya, zachrusa di yardei mimaras pamyas. The source, what the Gemara calls zachrusa, right? The main part, the source of the Jordan River is the caves of Pamyas. Pamyas. Yardana. A person says that he's not going to drink any more water from the caves of Pamyas. He now becomes usher for him to drink anything from the Jordan. Zachrucha de dama. What's the source of the blood of a human body? I know cardiologists. Kavda, right? The liver. Liver is the source. Kidrav Yitzchak dam Rabbi Yitzchak kaved shinimuach metame berevius. Halachically speaking, you have a liver that disintegrates, and you now have a revius of liver. You have a revius of blood, gives off tuma. Zachrucha de maya pras. What about the main source of water for the world, right? Civilization at that time, Euphrates. Dam Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Hanoder mi meme pras. A person makes a neder. I'm not drinking water from the Euphrates. Asa bechol me Moshe ba'olam. He no longer can drink water from the entire world. Yeah, correct. In other words, it's a neder that you can't survive. Now, let me just finish up. Now, if he says the Euphrates, that means only the Euphrates. The neder is, I'm not drinking from any water that emanates from pras. So the Gemara says the Euphrates really is the main body source of water. Everything else emanates from the Euphrates River. Okay, I know we have a little bit more to finish, but we're going to stop here. Tomorrow, discussion of what is the main body source. The answer is Euphrates. I know we saw that already. Lul Mikvah's talk tomorrow to end our daf. Right? Same Mikvah's talk that we had in Masechta Nida, that we will have in Masechta Nida. Stay tuned for that as well. Okay, and then back to Maaser Behemah.